Hello and welcome to the Health Headlines Unpeeled podcast, where we peel back the science behind the headlines to help you make informed decisions about your health, nutrition, fitness, and well-being to lead a more productive and satisfying life. I'm Stephen Clark.
And I'm Jill Joyce, and we are excited to begin the next episode of Health Headlines Unpeeled from the Department of Nutritional Sciences at Oklahoma State University.
So Jill, what's up?
Oh no, you didn't ask how I'm doing today, so I couldn't say PG. Thrown off rocker.
Yeah, that's all good.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So Independence Day is, all things considered, right around the corner. Do you have any plans?
We are flying back home to a little north of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where there's, in the mountains, no TV, no internet, bad cell service, disconnecting.
Cool. Are you looking forward to it?
Yes, except it's supposed to rain the whole time.
Well, you know, that's okay. That whatever. It'll be fine.
True to Pittsburgh form.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, you were in Bentonville last week. Is that right?
Yes.
What'd you do over in Bentonville?
Oh, well, I was there for work. I had fun there, too. It was a pretty awesome place. I've never been to Arkansas aside from driving through, and it was fantastic. I'd go back. But I was there for a FEMA grant that we have a total wellness for first responders course. It's a pretty long 40-hour, 5 days, 8 hours a day wellness course for fire departments currently, hopefully law enforcement soon too, but they each have like a fitness coordinator or a fitness trainer, wellness coordinator, a position, and we're working on kind of ensuring that those guys have a solid base when they're working with their departments in terms of nutrition, physical training principles, and mental health. And then they also know when to refer out to and who to refer to if it's beyond them.
That's great. So did you enjoy being in Bentonville?
I did.
What was the coolest thing you did while you were there?
The coolest thing? There was a kind of an off-road bicycle event going on, and I had no idea. It was gigantic, tons of booths, tons of cars. So probably need to go next year. Didn't know that was happening. I would have maybe.
I need to put that on my list.
I know.
It'd be fun. All right. Well, as we prepare to go into this holiday, let's go ahead and move into this next podcast episode. And this week we're focused on really the role of protein in COVID. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So this headline is going to look at some people who are in a hospital, and it looks at protein supplementation and how that impacted their COVID recovery and complications from that. So I think it's a very timely topic. Granted, we're, thank God, and hopefully permanently on the backside of COVID right now. But whenever things like that happen, we tend to start making changes in our lifestyle. Like bicycles were sold out. I've never seen so many people walking outside. Hopefully people start cooking at home more and eating healthier. So I think it's a timely topic that looks at, you know, what could we be doing nutrition wise to help us out during this time.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Well, before we start the interview, can you go ahead and introduce our guest for today?
Yes, we have Kennedy Robinson with us today. This is her first podcast, and she is going into her second year as well as a master's student and dietetic intern in the department.
Great. Fantastic. Well, let's go ahead and start the interview.
So today we've got Kennedy. Kennedy, you want to introduce yourself?
Well, hello. Thank you, Dr. Joyce. I'm Kennedy. I am a master's student at OSU. I'm also a dietetic intern, just making it through the program. I'm enjoying it and just, you know, here, happy to be here. So this week's headline is How Protein Bolsters COVID-19 Recovery, and it comes from the Institute of Food Technology, which is also known as the IFT. The IFT is basically just a community of nutrition and health professionals that study all things from food, from the food industry to academia and even government policy.
Sounds good. So basically all things food in all aspects, literally possible. All right. So can you give us a quick rundown of the headline? What did that kind of headline article have to say?
So basically what this article is doing, it just dives into how protein can improve the body's defense mechanisms when it comes to COVID-19. So a major finding was that COVID patients are already being admitted to hospitals with protein malnutrition, which can be detrimental and it can jeopardize someone's immune response. And ultimately, it'll be a problem when the body is trying to repair itself from the attack of the virus. So this headline's claim is that protein can improve that immune response and also reduce the severity of symptoms and COVID's attack on the body.
All right. So basically you're saying the patients are coming in, protein malnutrition means we're not eating enough protein. So we're kind of low. Our status is low. So you're saying that patients are coming in with kind of a low protein status for whatever reason, might be short term or long term, but they are. And that's hurting their kind of ability for their body to react and respond to COVID.
Correct. The same way we would need foods to help our body during the flu or a regular cold, we need it for COVID.
All right. Okay. If we had adequate protein, or we make sure as dietitians, if we make sure they're getting enough protein, their immune system will be stronger, kind of bolstered, and it can have a better response. So you'll notice that how you react to COVID is a little less severe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Correct. Sounds good. All right. So that's the headline. Now, it mentions a study in it. Can you tell us a little bit about the study that it mentions? What was the purpose? What did they do? What did they find? All that jazz.
So the study, basically, everyone needs some actual research. So that's what a group of 8 people did. These researchers decided to test these claims in the headline through their study, which is called The Effect of Oral Glutamine Supplementation on COVID-19 Treatment. This study was actually published in May of last year, so 2020. And if you can remember, these are actually the pre-COVID vaccine days. So everybody was looking for a way to combat COVID-19. So these researchers were doing the same. They're working to determine if protein can aid in COVID-19 recovery and bring light to new methods that treat COVID-19. So now you might be wondering, did they use glutamine or protein? Because in the title, I did say glutamine, and the answer is both. Some of you may already know, but glutamine is the most abundant amino acid or protein building block in our bodies. So it helps several of our body functions. It's really important. In this study, they began by testing 60 patients with ages ranging from 50 to 60 years old, and they all tested positive for the virus. Anyone with evidence of organ failure of any severity or any other chronic health conditions that can be, you know, like whether their kidneys were failing or, you know, lung issues, cirrhosis, things of the sort, they were excluded from the study to keep the sample clinically similar, which also means they wanted to start the study at the same otherwise healthy point for equal comparison later. So of those that were included, that's the 60 participants, half of them were given 10 grams of protein in the form of a flavorless glutamine powder to go with each meal that was given 3 times a day. The other half of participants, they received no supplement with their meals. Of course, this experimental diet ended upon the discharge from the hospital of the patients. So altogether, the researchers were able to find differences in the duration of hospital stay, which happened to be less for those that actually took the supplement. So the number of days in hospital stays was about 8 to 9 days for those that had the supplement versus 10 to 11 for those that did not take the supplement. As well as the necessity of going to the ICU. And again, in this study, there were only 4 cases of people that did not take the supplement, and none of the people that did take the supplement were admitted to the intensive care unit. And lastly, they looked at mortality between the 2 groups, and there was only 1 mortality, and that just so happened to be in a non-supplement participant. So with all this information, they were able to conclude that protein sublimation may actually have beneficial effects for COVID-19 treatment.
All right. Sounds good. And a couple of things I noticed while you were talking about this study. One of the things we're trying to do through this podcast, and Kennedy knows this, but for our listeners, is we're trying to teach you little things to pay attention to when trying to translate a headline into how it impacts your life. And an important thing to notice in this study, and I think Kennedy will probably bring it up again later too. Actually, I know she will. But it used 50 to 65 year olds. And you want to pay attention to the age group
that we talk about when we bring up the study, because that means that the study results only apply to that age group. Unless you find other research using other age groups, then you can say more about more age groups. But this particular study is only 50 to 65 year olds. And as you mentioned, they excluded kind of everybody who had complications. So they were kind of fairly healthy individuals, aside from the fact that they had COVID. So this study really only is useful for older adults who are fairly healthy. Myself, I'm in my 30s. We're not going to say where. I'm healthy. This study doesn't really apply to me. Glutamine may or may not be helpful for me. This study can't tell me that because I'm not in that 50 to 65 year old age group. So, all right. Enough on that little lesson, off soapbox. So moving along, we've heard about the headline. We've now also heard what the study actually did. So in this podcast, the big thing we like to do is reconcile the two. So how accurate was the headline in translating and presenting the study findings?
So overall, this was a strong study. However, it is the first of its kind. I did mention that this was pre-vaccine days for COVID. So, you know, it's pretty early. Since it was one of the first studies on this subject and the headline only quoted this one study, we kind of need to wait for more research to be sure protein supplementation really does improve COVID-19 recovery. We don't really want to just change our lives based on one single study. That would be, I don't know, that would be a little, you know, a little crazy. So, but instead of a brick wall of evidence from numerous studies finding the same thing, we just have, you know, we just want to make sure we have ample resources. And another thing, right, like Dr. Joyce mentioned, this study does only consider older adults. So the 50 to 65 age range might not apply to everyone. I know it doesn't apply to me. Being younger, I'm not really sure how it would affect me. And then again, these were generally healthy older adults, so healthy and with no condition, no disease conditions. So those are things to keep in mind, that these participants are only representative of a certain population. So this study sample is only a small portion as well of people that have been hospitalized due to the virus, and more research is definitely needed to determine the effects in a larger population, which could include younger adults, teens, children, and even older adults that do have pre-existing medical conditions, which I think is something really important to note, because most people in that age range do typically deal with other health conditions. So I think that would be important to include in future studies. With all of this in mind, the headline summary of the article was fairly accurate, and protein supplementation can improve COVID recovery, but it's in a small, specific, healthy population. And we can't confidently say that it is true for all age groups or even for older adults that have other medical conditions.
All right. Well, that sounds good, Kennedy. So basically, who this study is really useful for, in my opinion, is a clinician, a dietitian working in a hospital that's working with COVID patients, or, you know, a physician's assistant, a PA, a doctor, a nurse, someone who's working with a patient in the hospital who can provide a supplement that might help them with recovery. At home, it doesn't really play a big role for most of us. You know, if you're in that 50 to 65 year old age group, and you're generally healthy and you're at home and you get COVID, not bad enough to go into the hospital, maybe taking a glutamine supplement might help you, but this was only hospitalized patients. So even the severity differs for you. So it may not work for you like it did for someone in the hospital, because they're more severe. They're different. This population is different. This study was really for clinicians. So honestly, those of us that aren't hospitalized for it, there's really not much for us to do.
Still need those extra studies for sure.
Yeah. Aside from maybe get a little extra protein, make sure we're getting enough protein, which most Americans are. We're getting more than we need for most of us. So not a problem. All right. Well, thank you, Kennedy. Fantastic job. And Thank you to our listeners for letting us at Oklahoma State Nutritional Sciences unpeel this headline with you today. We hope that you'll join us again next time as we pull back the peel on even more health headlines. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Well, that was fantastic, and Kennedy did a wonderful job. What do you see as some of the most important take-home messages from this study?
Well, this study was interesting because, to be honest, it's not ridiculously applicable in a very straightforward manner to the general public. It was hospitalized patients, a certain age group. They were going in with not adequate protein stores, so their bodies were kind of compromised. That's not most of us. Most of the U.S. population, we actually eat more protein than we need. So I think that's probably the big take-home message is maybe talk to a doctor or a dietitian, see if you are eating adequate protein, if you're concerned about that, and just ensure that you are. That'll make sure your body's ready to fight if it needs to fight something.
So this is a really timely topic. You know, over the last few years, there's a lot of data that has emerged that suggests that as we get older, our protein status becomes more compromised, right? And so there's some idea that there are changes in the extent to which we digest protein, and a lot of things related to that. And, you know, this is one of those areas that I think we'll continue to get more data, right? And we'll continue to do more studies. And what we're not doing here is suggesting that everybody go out and buy glutamine and use that as a supplement, right?
No, definitely not.
Yeah, so I think more to come on this. We'll try to dive a little bit deeper into this issue of protein metabolism, especially as we get a little bit older or in immunocompromised individuals in another episode.
Sounds good.
All right. So by now, all of you know that we like to end every episode with a food pun. So Jill, what do you have for us today?
You know, you'd think I'd just come in with a list of these at this point. I hope you all have a perfect 4th of July weekend.
Oh, that's really good. Well, I had Latke share another food pun, but I'm afraid you'd just beat me. So I'm going to end it right there.
Yep, that was 2-1. Touche.
Well, it won't last.
All right. Well, we just want to thank our listeners for letting us unpeel health headlines with you. We hope that you join us in our next episode where we'll peel back the science behind the headlines. Until then, thanks for listening.
On behalf of the Department of Nutritional Sciences at Oklahoma State University, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon. Cheers.